Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Soccer Time Podcast, our weekly look into Seattle Sounders FC, nerdy soccer culture, fan outrage, and branded drinking stuff while I'm doing an intro.
Sorry, could you hear that?
No.
Oh, good.
But I could see it, so oh, that's yeah. why I said it. Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah. I didn't want to say the same thing again.
Yeah,
so. Okay. Well, we're your hosts. I'm on mornings on 107.7 The End. I'm Gregor, and he's a guy. He's used to work for the Sounders. Probably still would if he didn't move to Spokane. He's Brandon.
I was thinking if I had never met my wife, I would definitely still be working at the Sounders because there was an element of when we met, I was working for the Sounders and I was working a lot because when you work for a professional sports team, you work a lot and you're down. We live in Seattle, but then I was down at Starfire all the time where the Sounders train. And also in professional sports, unless you're the professional athlete, they really don't pay you very much money. And so I realized that in order to eventually propose to my wife and then girlfriend, now wife, I was like, I need to go make more money. And so I left and I went to work with you. And then I was like, if I ever want to buy a house, I need to get out of radio.
I'm surprised you were able to afford to propose working in radio. The difference between radio and professional sports is that in radio, they still don't pay the stars or whatever a substantial amount of money. So
think about
not that I don't do, not that I'm ungrateful, but yeah. I'm just saying I don't make, you know, Raul Ruiz Diaz money being the morning host at a big alternative station.
Do you at least make one new who?
I won't reveal that.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
The question is, do I make more or less than this year's Freddie Montero?
I won't tell you. Yeah, yeah. That's a good question because we have to know. So they released, I think since the last time we recorded, maybe because we hardly ever record this show anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
I think since the last time we recorded, they released the salary information and we already knew that
We already knew who.
Well, sorry. We already knew who Leo Chu, that Freddie Montero was making very little money, but it's very little. I mean, it's like $85,000 for a professional soccer player, he's making like $85,000. And you have to wonder like how much Santos Coffee did the Sounders have to commit to buying in order to get Freddie to sign this contract. I mean, it's like a sweetheart deal for him too, right? Because he gets to like come back to Seattle and live with his Fox News watching QAnon wife. And so I guess that's good for him.
What? How do you know that? How do you know that bit of information? That's amazing.
She shares a lot on Instagram, on her Instagram stories.
Why are you following her on Instagram?
I'm not following her for what it's worth, but a couple of Sounders fans saw that, screenshotted it, shared it to Twitter, and were like, oh, so Freddie's wife is Rush Limbaugh.
Well, that is exciting. I just looked it up, and his guaranteed compensation, $81,375. Ooh, boy.
Gosh, that's like 0.7 new who's.
No, but it's the new who scale is the original, so it's like it's like 1.3 new who's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or like
the original new who was like 65K, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The $65,000 man, that's what we call him, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Now, I imagine that Freddie probably gets compensated by goals scored and stuff like that too. So
he's got six goals. Yeah, I would imagine that you have a goal scoring bonus. But even like usually a goal scoring bonus is like every goal is $500. Yeah. Right. So if he scored six goals this year, that's
he's on pace to make $84,000.
Right. That's like $3,000 just because of the goals that he's scored. So I think that you also get a bonus if you start a game, which is I think is maybe still like $100. I don't know. It's like very, very little in the Premier League and in some of the bigger leagues. The kind of money that you make is, you know, if you start a game, it's like a couple thousand. Right. If you score a goal, it's a couple thousand.
Dude, like Mo Salah is like looking to make like £600,000 a week or something like that. Yeah. Like, oh my God, that's like 10 new who's a week.
I know. Imagine how many new who's you could afford. If wow. Now would you rather fight 100 Mo Salah size new who's?
Yo, new who's on 169,000 this year. No wonder he's playing like a freight train.
Yeah,
my
that's
God.
Right. Yeah.
Good for you,
he's,
kid.
That's he's a, playing like a bullet train.
He's playing. That's like, he's making like 2.5 new who's. That's fantastic.
New who is just now a new who Megatron made of smaller new who's.
Great.
Yeah. He's awesome.
The new who Voltron?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's from Cameroon?
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder if he's one of the, I don't mean this disrespectfully, but I wonder if he's one of the highest paid sports stars from Cameroon, because I can't name another one.
Yeah, well, I wonder where the rest of the Cameroonian national team plays, because it was only recently, only in the last year or so, that Nuhu kind of got on their national team radar and started to get called up more frequently. I think he's played for some youth teams in the past, but it's only...
The coach there is like, Nuhu?
Nuhu?
Sorry, I use that joke every time. I'm sorry.
No, I think it's great. I think it's a very good joke. And a few weeks ago, I think you said if you have to explain your joke or say it multiple times in order to get people to laugh, you should probably stop saying it. But hey, no, I'm still laughing. So
or you dig in and keep using it over and over until no one listens.
It's my bit. Damn it.
Hey, do us a quick solid and click on through to Apple Podcasts and give us a rating.
Definitely five new who's.
And we'll someday check it to see if you've left us a comment. We would love to hear your comments. We want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC fake player.
Yeah, from Steve Zach Scottawani to Spencer Ritchie's massive dong.
Well, this week we talk about some dude's wiener on the full night. You should listen to our other show.
Where we also talk about some dude's wiener.
There's a lot of wiener talk between us. Okay, well.
Some would say that Freud would have a lot to say about that.
We'll get to Spencer Ritchie, a person who I barely even know who that is, but now I know a lot more about him. But first, this week we'll talk about the Remember the Month of May Seattle Sounders FC taking on the Turf Bony Bronies Vancouver Whitecaps. Wow. Full90podcast.com for all of our hot links, including our non-existent OnlyFans. And I got to start the episode by saying, sweet peace of kit. There, Brandon, you finally got your new who jersey. Congratulations.
Sorry, new who? Yes, got him. Got him.
Nice.
Yes. So I ordered, originally I had posted on Twitter when these jerseys first came out, or when they were first leaked, actually, before they were even on sale. I had asked my followers, all like 500 of them, if you could tell me or vote on which jersey I should get. Should I get a new who jersey or should I get a Nico Ladero jersey? And the overwhelming support was for new who. And then I like chickened out and I bought a Nico Ladero jersey. And then it said it wasn't going to come for like 6 months or something. And so I just canceled it.
Is it also on Wellbutrin or?
Yeah.
Hey!
If you have depression, which you definitely do if you're listening to this podcast, you definitely get that joke. Anyway, so I canceled that order, and then my mom for my birthday this year ended up saying she wanted to buy me the jersey, and so she bought me the jersey, and I was like, you know what, this is my opportunity, because as soon as I ordered the Nico Ladero jersey, I had buyer's remorse, because I really should have gotten the new who jersey, so my mom got it for me. Well, the shipping date on it was like October 23rd. And so last week it came, I put it on, I wore it all afternoon, there wasn't even a game, and it is wonderful. I love it. I love it so much. It looks so good. I mean, I saw my friend wearing, I went to the game a couple of weeks ago.
With me.
And it was against Sporting Kansas City. And my friend who I met up with before the game was wearing the the Jimi Hendrix kit, and I was like, yeah. This is really my first time seeing it up close and in person, and now I'm really jealous that mine still doesn't come for another freaking month. Now it's here. I'm not jealous anymore. I love it so much. So thank you, Jennifer, my mom.
Yeah, great job. Yeah. It's they're super cool, and like, you know, you showed it to me, and I was pumped for you. I was actually more selfishly angry because now I knew who's definitely going to leave.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as soon as you buy a jersey, it just cements the fact that they're from a player that's not, like, the main player.
Yeah, how's that? Gonna go. How's that Kim Ki-hee jersey doing for you?
Well, it was free, at least. So,
yeah, thank you.
But I don't like wearing it because I'm like, well, who's this guy? I wish I could. Can you remove heat press letters? I bet you can.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll talk. Shout out to Cool Keith. We'll figure that out. Yeah, but at first I was like, great, now we're going to lose Nuhu. Thanks a lot, Brandon. And then I was like, you know what? Way to go. You're supporting, like, the coolest player on our team. There are people that are, like, maybe better paid or people that are maybe better at soccer or whatever. But, like, really, he's our treasure. He is the jewel in the weirdness crown that we, like, support. So,
I mean, without him, this podcast would have so much less content.
Yeah, we'd have so many fewer memes. We'd have like three instead of five. So But yeah, it's a great look, and I'm worried. But one piece of news from this week that I'm excited about is I saw that the club has decided to pick up its team option on Raul Ruiz Diaz for 2022.
Can you imagine not doing that? I mean, I feel like that should have been a given. I'm obviously very excited to see the news that he'll be here for at least another season before he has to renegotiate his deal. But he's already tied the record following this last game. He's tied the record for goals scored in a season by a Seattle Sounder. And that's 17, tying Obafemi Martin's record of 17 in, what was it, 2014? Was it the year that the Sounders won the Supporters' Shield? Yeah. So he's already set that record. He's on pace to tie the record for goals scored by a Sounder ever. He has an opportunity, if he scores a hat trick in the last game against the Whitecaps, to have a 20-goal season, which Sounders have never had, right? The highest scoring before this was 17 by Obafemi Martin. So to have a 20-goal season would be incredible. I think the Sounders have longed for a striker like that since Obafemi Martin's left. So,
do you think there's a Panenka bonus for him?
Oh my gosh, dude. It's every time he steps up to take a penalty, I'm like, the goalkeeper is going to know he's going to do the Panenka, and he's just going to stand there
They're
and take
gonna
it.
Know.
So I feel like if I were an opposing goalkeeper, I would always just kind of wait for the Panenka because it just always seems like he's going to do it. He's either...
Imagine a guy just doesn't move. Imagine a guy just stands there and he just kicks it and just catches it. Like, all right.
That's what would happen. So dope. I mean, that's all you have to do if you're going to... Like, he doesn't always do the Panenka, but it's literally every other time. Every other time he takes a penalty, he goes for the Panenka.
What's this? The Panenka, for anyone that's unfamiliar, is that it's a fake out, effectively. You barely tap it in straight down the middle as the keeper jumps away, trying to predict what side you're going to shoot towards or whatever. And so it's like in training, you'd get chased off the field for being a jerk or whatever. But then it's very humiliating, I would say. And like, you got to think that like a tenth of his goals this season, maybe more, been scored that way.
Yeah, I'm shocked. Like every time I'm like, this guy knows Raul, he's going to do it, right? So I wonder, because if you watch that penalty kick that he took on replay, he comes up to the ball, the way that he starts his run up and gets to the ball to take the kick looks so convincingly like he's just going to smash it. So he is just incredible at that bluff. And then he, you know, very lightly scoops it, chips it into the goal down the middle. I could see that being so challenging, but because you could easily scoop it over the bar, right? Yeah. Or kick it so softly that the keeper has time to correct his mistake and get back and save the ball. So I wonder if Raul Ruiz Diaz, like in his run-up, sees the goalkeeper kind of move or give a hint in which direction he's going to go, to the point where he's able to choose to do the Panenka as soon as he realizes the goalkeeper is moving, or smash it if he thinks that the goalkeeper isn't giving him anything to go off of.
Yeah, you think there's a switch up there that when he runs up that he's like, what am I gonna do? Do you think there's time, or does he premeditate it? Like,
I think if you know that you are good enough that you have the option where in your run up you can choose one or the other, which Raul Ruiz Diaz being a world class, sorry, maybe being a CONCACAF class striker.
I think he's a coma bowl, right?
Yeah, coma bowl, but you know,
got it.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, I'm sure he could play down in coma bowl as well. But being as good of a striker as he is, I think that he could maybe have that option. That could be like his spidey sense, right? Like as he gets ready to take his run up in motion, he's able to choose what he's going to do. I don't know. That's just a theory of why he hasn't been saved trying to do that yet.
It's just part of the character. Yeah. Like you got to have giant stones to be able to do that.
Totally.
Like you just got to. Like if it's me and I'm a penalty kick taker, first of all, we're going to lose.
Yeah.
Secondly, like every time, try and blast it into the top corner and make a Stefan Fry have to really make that Stefan Fry fingertip save. Like it's just the chances of get or down in the bottom corner. Just like work on not just juking a guy, but like trying to like put it as narrow a margin as you can. But anyway, I bring this all up because it's like. They take up his option. You got to think that's the first step in negotiating a new contract. And for me, I'm like, do I finally get another player's jersey or name on a jersey and buy a Rui Diaz? Or does that automatically guarantee that his legs fall off and he has to get Darth Maul legs and he gets a lightsaber and it's dark side and all that stuff?
Wait, then you definitely want his jersey, right?
Yeah. Darth Rui Diaz? Oh, dude, it's got a good ring.
Darthy Diaz. Dorothy, yeah. Dorothy Diaz?
Dorothy Diaz? Who is that?
That's Raul's mom.
Dorothy. She's from Kansas.
Yeah, she's from Kansas in the 1950s.
You all racist because you thought he was from South America.
They do exclusively speak Spanish in Kansas.
Okay, well, my bad. I've only been there once, and I guess I just misjudged it. My mistake. All right, so I need you to chime in on whether or not I'm going to buy that jersey. I think that would be.
I think
be cool.
You wait until. So this is just a club option, right? So it means that it's one more year guaranteed that he will play for the Sounders. So 2022, that jersey would come in handy for at least a season, depending on if he, you know, asks for too much money for the following season, or if the Sounders are moving on to a different striker, which we have like our depth at the striking position is.
One
person. It's Will Bruin, and he hurt. So if Raul sticks around, if he signs another contract, that's when you get the Raul Rui Diaz jersey. If you get it next season, he's definitely not coming back in 23.
All right, well, people better sweeten it up for me because otherwise I'm buying it. I'm going to do it.
Gregor is picking up the Raul Rui Diaz jersey option.
That's very funny. So it was nice to see him back out there, specifically with no measure to how injured he has been with maybe a tear or whatever. And then he comes out and looks 100% Raul Rui Diaz with his two touches in the first half. Because Sounder's going to Sounder.
He only needs like six. Last season?
Yeah, we have to go back to last season where he scores every 39 touches.
Yeah, 38 like, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I guess the nine from his jersey is what confused me. So,
So I think he had two touches in the first half and three if you count the goalkeeper literally trying to pull his head off.
Yeah. Dude, that was crazy. That's like scary stuff. He put his head in there to try and, you know, make something happen and almost got it punched off.
Gosh. You have it in the run
What was your reaction? Hold on. What was your reaction? When you saw that, you were like, did you just yell red card like I did? Like,
no, I mean, look, so if you listened to, were you listening to the Sounders broadcast when you were watching the game? Or were you watching on Twitter?
No, I was watching the television.
Okay, so you had Casey Keller and Zach Wani and Keith Costigan. They were like, that's a penalty, but if he got any of the ball, and then they show the close-up replay where the goalkeeper does get like a glance off of the ball after it comes off of Rui Diaz's head. Casey Keller's like, that's not a penalty. You know, if he doesn't get that touch, that's not a penalty. I'm sitting there like, anywhere else on the field, it doesn't matter if you've touched the ball or not. If you create a dangerous situation, if you have dangerous play, it's a foul. If it's a foul and it's in the box, it's a penalty. If the goal, why does the goalkeeper, in two cases now, you had Tim Melia body slamming Christian Roldan, and now you have whoever his face is taking down Rui Diaz by like literally wrapping his hands around his head and pulling him down.
So I don't know you know, neither of us has read the rules, so this really makes this argument obsolete. But I saw that, I'm like, that's a penalty, that's a red card. Get that keeper out of here. Yeah. Just like, that's my reaction because, yeah, he hits him in the face. If I jump up for a header and I put my arm into a guy's face, that's a foul.
Yeah.
And if you hit a guy in the face on purpose at any time, even if it's like, you know, you touch your forehead to his head and the guy falls over, that's a red card, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the idea that the keeper can, like, if it would have been the keeper's foot that hit him in the face, would it have been a foul? If it would have been his shoulder? No matter if it got the ball or not, you hit the guy in the head, that's a bad look.
I try to think about it this way. If Stephen Fry did that to an opposing player...
10-game suspension.
No, I look at it this way. If Stephen Fry does that, and they award the penalty, I am okay with it. I don't sit there and say, oh, but he got the ball. It's like, you don't... Just getting the ball... Like, if the goalkeeper touches the ball, he can then shank you. And as long as he got a piece of the ball, he's clear. He doesn't have to worry about the anything else, right? It's not a foul. Yes, I stabbed him to death, but don't worry about it because I got the ball.
Yeah. It does give that off. I don't know if there would have been legal standing for the ref to go back and give that as a foul.
Sure.
And a PK. I wonder what pro would have said. Like, let's assume that pro is benevolent, okay, and that they're not awful. Like, I don't know if in his Monday meeting on the conference call, if pro is like, hey, you got that wrong, you shouldn't have called that a foul or not. I don't know where, like, I want to know, and they'll never tell us because there's no transparency whatsoever, but I want to know how the organization feels about the contact that was made there, if it could have been a foul, if it was kind of like the ref's discretion, in which case, like, okay, that's part of the humans reffing a match thing.
But in that kind of case, in the case of potential penalties, in the case of clear and obvious misses, I would say that pro could easily step in there because that's a game-changing call, right? That is a if you don't make that call or if you do make that call, that changes the game, right? One way or the other. I have lost you. I kind of laughed when you said, let's assume pro is benevolent because I've lost all faith in it. Like, so first of all, Tim Lea gets a 1-game suspension, but still gets to finish the game and potentially influence the game in the game.
What would you have liked to see?
At least a 2-game suspension, because if you weren't red carded in the game that you played, then you still got to finish and influence a game where you should not have been playing. Right. Okay. So that game, you should be suspended for, as well as the following game, which you would have missed anyway for the red card. So you realistically should miss 2 games, in my opinion, because you did get to continue playing in the game that you were where you committed the foul. Now, similarly, the following game by the same team, Kansas City, they had a player 2-foot, basically scissor tackle, another player, and he was given a yellow card. If you look at it on replay, the dude's ankle just about snaps. Like, we had a potential of a Steve Zakuani incident again when Steve, you know, it was a similar foul where Steve broke his entire damn leg into
both bones in his lower leg.
Exactly, and Brian Mullen, the guy that did it, I think missed a lot of the rest of the season because of that tackle. Now, you look back at the game against LAFC. I just saw this. I missed it during the game, but I just saw it. Leo Chu is making it. The reason he didn't end up playing yesterday is because in the game against LAFC, he's making a run down the left, and he is scissor tackled. Like, and you watch it in replay, and you're like, he just about loses his dang ankle. Yeah. So what is pro doing at this point?
It's like the definition of a red card is the 2-footed sliding tackle that scissors the guy.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And with the spikes up, it's like it studs up.
So
it should be a slam dunk thing for any, like, especially with VAR to be able to go back and look at.
And that's the point. Like, what is VAR for if not to correct these calls on the field that are missed, right? Maybe the referee didn't see it because it happened so quickly. What is VAR for if they're not going to say, hey, maybe you should look at that again? You know, and so, look, I think the penalty call that was not called against Rui Diaz, I think that probably should have been at least reviewed, even if they decide not to call it, right? Mm-hmm. Or that rule needs to be changed where if they even get a glance of the ball, it's not a penalty. Because
what's to stop the guy from hitting the ball and then punching Rui Diaz?
Exactly.
He just gets a hand to the face, but what if he close fists that? Like, he's going to punch it out and then hits Rui Diaz across the face? Like, it's not. Yeah. He didn't do that, and like, no. That's, and these what ifs are ridiculous, sure. But that's just the natural extension of that. Is like, oh, next time I'll make sure if I get the ball, I follow through on the guy, because then their most significant player is going to think twice about coming in on me.
Right. Let me body him to make sure that he doesn't do this again, or he's injured and can't finish the game. Right.
Now I want to point the blame also that could have been a 1-0 victory for Seattle the way things went if ECS hadn't done a better job of marking people in the freaking box than the Sounders did. Oh. It happened twice. The first time, two guys not marking Chicharito in the middle, or was it?
Yeah, it was Chicharito.
Yeah, Chicharito in the middle. No one's marking their most important player, arguably, and he gets the ball and scores. It's like, of course he's going to. Every time he's going to do that.
Yeah.
Then you turn around, and the next opportunity that they have, instead of marking him, instead of two guys like standing at the front there near the front post, three guys are there. And I'm like, it almost happened immediately again. Like where you're like, were you not watching that thing where you got scored on? It was a very strange set of choices that made me very upset.
It's weird because like the entire beginning of the season, we're talking about the Sounders defense who had not given up a goal in something like seven games, right? Or from the run of play, at least. We had talked about the Sounders defense being one of the best in the league and possibly league history, the way that they were playing. We were talking about having multiple contenders to be Defender of the Year, or at least on the short list for Defender of the Year. I still think Yamar has a shout there.
Sure.
Now we're talking about guys straight up not marking anybody in the box and giving up goals that are just unforgivable. Goals that you do not give up. And for once, it wasn't Arriaga, right, that was missing his mark completely.
Do you think this has anything to do with Jimmy leaving?
Hey, that's a for sure possibility. And even Pineda, who is a defensively minded midfielder, right? To miss two very good defensive coaches, especially Jimmy Traore, a Champions League winner, which we still don't know where he's gone. To be missing guys like that, that's a real possibility. But just to see, like, these are grown professionals who've been playing soccer their entire life. They know who Chicharito is. They know what he's capable of.
Yeah.
You don't need Jimmy Traore to tell you to mark Chicharito in the box.
Yeah. Christian Roldan, come on, man.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough to watch that and then to watch it happen again and be like, what's going on here? And how come no one's like... The goalkeeping coach is kind of like the de facto number two now for the team, and you don't see. And then what's his name? Preki. Yeah. Also, you get to see him getting mentioned and stuff. But you don't. I don't know. Like if there's got to be the drop off in form corresponds with injuries, but also I think there's something to look into on the coaching changes, and that might just be a time issue. You might just need to let the new people integrate better, and it might be a full season long thing. But boy, Sounders look not good.
I wonder if it's. The Sounders played incredibly well for the first half of the season. Usually they get this turned around where they play okay to mediocre for the first half of the season and then really turn it on in the run up to the playoffs. That's what happened in both MLS Cup wins. Mm-hmm. Oh, sweet ring. Are you wearing your...
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I got mine too. We're now showing the camera our Sounders
podcast break.
Our Sounders FC championship rings. Oh, don't flip me off with it. That gives me so many conflicted feelings. I love the ring, but I actually love it when you flip me off. Anyway, I wonder if we talked about this while the game was going on. Greg Vanney, who is now the coach of the Galaxy, it was the coach of Toronto when they beat the Sounders in the first MLS Cup. He was also the coach when they beat them in the second one, or when the Sounders won the MLS Cup.
Wait, wasn't he the coach for the first one when the Sounders won, the second one when the Sounders lost, and the third one when the Sounders won?
Yeah. That's right. Sorry, I got them flipped around.
Yeah.
But what we know from the one that the Sounders won is that Greg Vanney had a plan to shut down Nico Ladero. He had the Sounders figured out. And when you watch the game against the Galaxy from last week, he had the Sounders, or from Monday or whatever, had the Sounders figured out completely. Like, Nico Ladero did nothing.
Yeah.
Rui Diaz was running up and down, dropping way deep, trying to find the ball. Jordan Morris comes on for Rui Diaz. I would have loved to be able to see them playing together.
Yeah.
But there were a couple times where you're just like, what is going on? Like, LA Galaxy just dominating possession. You got to think if Greg Vanney and the rest of the league are just figuring out how to defend against this new 5-3-2 formation that the Sounders are playing.
Well, but also let's give some exception where we can, because Rui Diaz obviously wasn't going to play a full match because he's his first game back. Lodeiro, it's really his first game, not first, but like right there in the mix of coming back, and Jordan Morris coming back. So you can't have those three guys on the field at the same time. So it's going to be a little bit easier to figure out how to stop, as you say, the 5-3-2 or whatever the formation is with the five backs. Because, I mean, what do I know? But like when you have a guy that is not up to speed and isn't match fit the same way that that your LA Galaxy squad is, having played 37 matches or 33 matches or whatever leading up to. Yeah, it's just different. I think Sounders are running out of steam towards the finish line here. I think that there's been a big burn on them because the MLS season's been so bonkers this year.
Because of the League's Cup, you mean? It must have been all of those extra games in the League's Cup.
Yeah, ridiculous.
You know what? You know who I would have loved to see in this game? Was Jimmy Madronda. There was a few different opportunities where the ball came into the box and bounced out to Brad Smith, and he was playing the left back position where Jimmy Madronda would also be playing. And every single time it came out to them, I was like, just freaking boot it, man. Like, just you have an opportunity to just one time it and put it into the mix and see what happens. Jimmy Madronda, who is on the top, he's one of the top five goal scorers for the Sound. Remember at the beginning of the season when Brad Smith was the Sounders' leading goal scorer with 3 goals? Jimmy Madronda has 4, okay? So, like, in that position, all I was hoping for and all I learned was A, Brad Smith is not Jimmy Madronda, and B, Jimmy Madronda he's brought so much to the team for being such a kind of an under the radar pickup, and I've just learned how much I think I have so much hope every time the ball is at Jimmy Madronda's feet, because he's quick and he just only scores bangers, and there were a few opportunities for Brad Smith to do that where he just kind of collected it and passed it around.
I could see Brad Smith and Jordan Morris playing on the left side there, being like that overlap that they can do because of their respective speed being a big deal. But when you don't have that and you have Jimmy Madronda coming out to be a little more muscly, like you get how it was just kind of out of sync. You start Madronda and bring on Brad Smith and Jordan Morris, and you would totally change the game on the left-hand side there for anybody.
Do you remember that? I think it was 2 seasons ago, it must have been, when it was Victor Rodriguez, Brad Smith, and Jordan Morris all playing on that left side. And the way that those three interconnected, it was like if you could shut down the Sounders' left side, you could shut down the entire Sounders' attack. And people attempted it, and they couldn't.
Yeah.
You have Jordan Morris back. You have Brad Smith still back there, although Nuhu's, I think, been playing equally as well as Brad Smith.
Oh, he was so mad this match. I loved it. He just kept getting pissed at everybody for not making runs and for not being like available every time he saw the game develop. I think his match smarts are getting way stronger. I think he sees the game totally differently than he did when he was just being crazy, Darth Maul legs, Nuhu.
It's almost like he's grown past the level of the game that he's playing, right? Where he's seeing runs that should be happening and the players...
Don't say that. You just bought that jersey. Don't say that.
I mean, there was talk, what was it, last offseason about him getting signed and going to play in France, so...
I would not be surprised if he ended up on a different roster next year and you ended up with a shirt that didn't make any sense. I want to mention one more thing about this match, and I don't know if anyone's doing it. It feels like the type of nerdy thing that we would find on Reddit somewhere, or that somebody with this type of knowledge and dedication to detail would collect. I want to know shots against the woodwork stats, because I feel like Christian Roldan might be the leader in this category after this match.
So I haven't seen the statistic of who has the most deflected shots off of the woodwork. However, I did see a statistic, and I'll try to find it right now. Jeremiah Oshan from Sounder at Heart had a tweet, and he said something along the lines of, if you calculate the when and the how the shots are hitting the woodwork, the Sounders have dropped something like 6 points from potential games because of shots that would have otherwise gone in if they had not hit the woodwork.
Wow, 6 points?
It was something like that. It might be worse, but I will look up. I'll see if I can find it.
All right. Well, Brandon, that brings us to a very important part where we go back and after all this talk, we have to figure out who it is that was the most important. It brings us to the most important player for Seattle. It's the Spencer Richie's Dong Jeans Man of the Match.
I would say that your Spencer Ritchie's Dong Jeans man of the match was Raul Ruiz Diaz.
Spencer Ritchie's Dong Jeans. The type of jeans that I definitely need to get.
Okay, we need to, like, stop the podcast.
Stop. Everyone stop.
Can we talk about Spencer Ritchie's penis?
What? Not if you say it like that. Look, okay, hold on. There was a picture posted of the Seattle Sounders, some players from the Seattle Sounders, and they went to the Seattle Kraken to see a hockey game. And they were photographed, and there they are, nice young men dressed to go out and have some fun on the town or whatever. And it did not take long for the internet to identify that those jeans on Spencer Ritchie were hiding something quite significant.
I think that they had covered up a kraken.
Is that a tentacle?
Look, it could have just been his phone.
What? Does he have a cucumber-shaped phone?
It absolutely looks like the outline of a very large penis. So good for
you. He's like, I'm not paying $18 for a Modelo. Whoop.
Yeah.
Good, that's what that was.
Good for you, Spencer Ritchie, on your massive piece. also, I love that the Sounders caption on the Instagram post was big hockey fans. They know what they're doing.
Now, I want to be clear. This is uncool what we are doing. We are body shaming a guy.
No, I am body praising this man.
Okay, fine. We are objectifying this man for the clothing that he wears, and that is like a really thing to do. But at the same time, like, it keeps coming up in conversation. And could you imagine it being the other way, where if it was like, "Do you see that tiny peen?" Like, how hurtful that. Well, I won't even go that far, because either way is not okay. But we shouldn't be doing that, but also the Sounders got in on it, so, like, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Raul Ruiz Diaz, your man of the match, huh?
Yeah, I think, you know, the goal he scored, it's not the only reason that he scores it, or it's not the only reason that he wins that for me, but the way that he played, that he was absolutely relentless trying to trying to get a goal, trying to get the Sounders to go ahead. So I think that he did everything that he possibly could, given his injury status and what we know about him. I think he absolutely deserved it.
I love seeing Jordan Morris. He'd be in contention for me because he came back. You know, probably it's got to be tough to come back after a season away and to have a home match that you return to the pitch for after a long, long injury recovery. And then the pressure that comes along with having to perform now with the uncertainty that goes along with it, too, about it being injured. And he came out and just rolled right through all that. He was big and tough and muscly and fast. Like, it was really good to see.
If he's worried about how to perform, maybe he just needs to talk to his other local buddy, Spencer Ritchie.
He did just get married. Congratulations to Jordan Morris. Before we get to this weekend's coming final match of the season, breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news. Last night, it was reported by Garth Lagerwey, so I feel like it's a pretty trustworthy source, that Will Bruin had a medical procedure done on his knee, and he's going to be shut down for a while. Now, we're at the end of the season, so what does a while look like? They didn't say for the rest of the year, but I don't know. You're a guy like Will Bruin at the, you know, he's not the bionic man Jordan Morris, where he's had both of his knees are now 90% pig tendon. So Will Bruin, I doubt you see him for the rest of the season.
Will you see Will Bruin in a Rave Green jersey again is the question.
That's a great question. Now, and I also got the correct statistic from Jeremiah Oshan, and it's 4 points that the Sounders have lost because of the woodwork, not six.
Sunday afternoon, everybody plays at the same time on different fields. It's Vancouver Whitecaps welcoming Seattle Sounders FC, a 3 p.m. matchup. It's a fun, what do they call that, decision day. It's a fun thing where every team in the league is playing, and you get to see kind of how it's all going to break down. The Whitecaps were not good to start the season, but now they've come on hot, except for the last time they played in Seattle. They didn't win, but they have not lost since October 9th when the Sounders put on a masterclass.
Yeah, I think the Sounders scored four in that match. It was 4-1 win.
Yeah.
Look, in the last 10 matches, that loss against the Sounders was their only loss. So they've had a lot of draws in that time period. They've had a couple of wins. But what's more impressive and not great for the Sounders is that their record at home, since you got to remember that all three Canadian teams couldn't play in Canada for the entire first half of the season.
Yeah.
Since that first half of the season, the Whitecaps can now play home games at BC Place, where the Sounders will be playing this weekend. They replaced their coach from Mark Dos Santos to this Italian guy who I didn't write his name down here, so I'm not going to try to remember it or say it. And they've made three massive signings, and one of those signings already has 12 goals. Brian White. I think he scored the goal against the Sounders in that 4-1 game, but he's their main threat. All of those goals from inside the box, where we've just talked about how the Sounders have been vulnerable, letting guys like Chicharito have free reign. So this isn't, you know, statistically not looking great for the Sounders, especially when you have a team like Vancouver who's still fighting tooth and nail to make the playoffs.
So the Sounders go into it with, as of the time of recording, actually Sporking plays tonight, so we'll know if their Sounders are either first or second place in the West, which is great. Already having clinched a playoff spot, great. You want to be number one so you get that home field advantage throughout the playoffs should you be lucky enough to keep going. But Vancouver, on the other hand, is going in sixth, just 1 point ahead of LA Galaxy, who have a feisty-looking Chicharito that's reasonably in form. Vancouver needs to pick up the 3 points in order to guarantee that they make it into the playoffs. You have to do it to make sure. Sure, they might be able to get by if LA Galaxy is beaten this weekend, or on Sunday. I'm looking to see they play Minnesota, which is another huge matchup with Minnesota just ahead of Vancouver in the standings as well. So it's pretty, there's a lot of pressure on Vancouver to do well, a lot less pressure on Seattle. And we all know how that goes for Seattle a lot of the time.
God, I mean, losing to teams all season RSL. They absolutely should win against. Even LAFC this season should have been a win for the Sounders.
LAFC is stacked. Like, that's a team that has, when they're bringing back Carlos Vela at the same time that we're bringing on Nico Lodero to return, like, that's a team that I'm never surprised when LAFC or LA Galaxy can deliver on something. When you lose to Real Salt Lake or Jan Jose or whatever, God, what are you doing?
Yeah. If I am reading the statistics correctly, and if my sources are good, if the Whitecaps draw or win, they will secure a for sure place in the playoffs. The Sounders currently in first place, but Kansas City behind by 1 point, with a game in hand. Now, if Kansas City draws or loses, but the Sounders will still be in a good position, but the Sounders still absolutely need to win this match. I mean, if they want even to have a chance at first place, if Kansas City wins out, first place is theirs. Colorado, I think, is in a similar position. Oh, no, they are on the same amount of games as the Sounders. But if Kansas City wins out, first place is theirs. The Sounders have the possibility of dropping all the way to third place if they don't win this game against Vancouver.
Austin FC is who we're counting on to beat Sporking Kansas City tonight. A 13th out of 13th place.
Yeah.
Sitting on 28 points. Just so you know, like, the Whitecaps drawing 8 times in the last 10 games or whatever, that's like that's like more than a quarter of the points that Austin have scored all season long. So those draws are still real important. But you never know. Austin might be able to deliver in this at this killer time at the end of the season here. They're the home squad tonight, 6 p.m., if you want to catch up and see how that looks tonight being Wednesday.
They've had a lot of kind of big surprise games against teams as well. So they're doing the opposite of the Sounders. Games that they shouldn't win, they do get a result from. So we're hoping that they can pull that off against Kansas City, albeit Austin is the worst team in the Western Conference, and I think only the second worst team in the league, tied for the second worst team in the league. So good luck to you, the fighting Matthew McConaughey's.
That other team, Toronto FC.
Yeah, and the only team below them, FCC Cincinnati, the Ajit Pies.
All right, take a look into your crystal Pepsi ball, Brandon. We've got Vancouver hosting Seattle Sounders on Sunday. Let me just tell you, buddy, I'm bummed. I've thought about it many times. I'm bummed that we can't go together and watch Turf Boney clean that field off before they play. Also, when is Seattle getting a Turf Boney? It's important. Vancouver welcomes Seattle 3 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. Take a look into your crystal Pepsi ball and tell me what you see.
I see surprise signing Turf Boney. Hey, now that Seattle has a hockey team, Zambonis have to be part of our vernacular, right? So how long would it be? There's this whole big World Cup press conference where they talked about how important grass is to Seattle if they were ever to host. Anyway. I'm looking into my effervescent crystal Pepsi ball, and I am seeing the Sounders squeaking out a win with a Jordan Morris goal and a Raul Ruiz Diaz goal 2-1 against Vancouver.
No one's going to like this, but I see a draw coming on Sunday. 2 apiece. I'm going to see Ruiz Diaz with a couple goals.
Yeah, oh, okay.
But the Sounders' defense not being able to keep Brian White out. So, yeah, I'm going to say 2-2 at the final whistle, Sunday, 3 p.m.
Okay.
Okay. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that you're right.
I think 2 goals from... I don't know how close Ruiz Diaz is to the Golden Boot, but... I think 2 goals would put him right up there in contention. I think Gustavo Beau of New England has 20 goals already this season. But hey, Raul Ruiz Diaz hat trick in the final game puts him at 20 goals. So let's, you know what? I'm changing my prediction. Raul Ruiz Diaz hat trick, 3-1 Sounders.
That's so different than what you said before, but hey, right on.
Whatever.
The swirl changed. It went anti-swirl there.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah.
In case this podcast was just too long and you didn't listen, it's too long. Didn't listen.
I was accidentally looking into my crystal cherry Coke ball.
That's what it was, definitely.
Yeah. All right, too long, didn't listen.
If you made it this far and you're just waking up, you are definitely depressed AF.
Take it from two guys who know.
Then we laugh. Uncomfortable. Too long, didn't listen.
Good news. Turns out Gregor's picking up the jersey option on Raul Ruiz Diaz. How many millions of new who's is that going to cost you?
The math is too hard.
Yeah, it's too hard. All right, last one. Too long, didn't listen.
Hey, make sure if he scores a goal or gets a hat trick, we send the ball to Dorothy Ruiz Diaz.
Can we shoe phone Dorothy Diaz?
You got to talk to Ladero Diaz for that.
Sorry, man, I don't have any more minutes.
Hot rubbish.